This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thank you for being here this afternoon. A lot going on this week to talk about, and today we're going to focus on the U.S. economy with noted national economist Dr. Elliot Eisenberg. He was first in our studio well over a decade ago when he came to Roseburg to speak to the Umpqua Valley Home Builders Association, and we've maintained a professional friendship with him ever since and like to get his insight and talk to him periodically. Dr. Eisenberg, thanks for being on today.
It's a pleasure to be on. Thank you for the long relationship and fruitful relationship.
You know, it's interesting. I figured because you live in South Florida that we'd be talking dueling weather today, but apparently not so much because you're not in Florida.
Correct. I'm in Denver. It's 67. It's gray, and it's been raining. It hailed yesterday.
Oh, boy. Well, I know Denver weather very well, and just wait another hour. It'll probably be different. There are a lot of things to talk about when we look at the U.S. economy. I guess, first of all, kind of give us a broad brushstroke overall about how you feel like the U.S. economy is doing this year.
So far, it's doing very well. I would say it's a pleasant surprise. Unemployment remains low. It went up by 0.3 last month, which was a lot. We're going to get the latest data for June in a couple of days on Friday. But GDP growth in Q1 was 2%. GDP in Q2 is tracking at 2%. We won't know the final number for several months. It's been a pleasant surprise. Despite the fact that rates have gone up a lot, and the expectation was that these higher rates, this rapid rate increase by the Fed, would hammer the economy. It hasn't happened. Why? It hasn't happened for a couple of reasons. One is labor market still tight, so there's still job growth. Number two, pent-up demand for services. People want to go and do things and go to restaurants and go to hotels, get on a plane, travel somewhere, you know, have a fun time, go to a basketball game. And the other thing is there's still leftover COVID money. So we're having, and certain sectors of the economy, healthcare, government, and so on, haven't, leisure, hospitality, haven't recovered from the job losses from COVID still. If they're almost there, but not quite. So you put all this together, and despite the high interest rates, the economy's chugging. How much longer remains to be seen, and I'm skeptical, but so far it's been dynamic.
Now, when we look at the economy, there's a lot of different sectors. Talk about ones that are doing particularly well.
Oddly enough, with interest rates going up, you'd be surprised to hear that automobiles and new home construction are doing well. Again, part of this weird recovery from COVID. The automobile sector got hammered back in 21 because of a lack of semiconductors, chips, if you will, right? So cars couldn't be completed. They could assemble the car, but they couldn't put the chips in to get the windows to work or the fuel injectors or whatever it was at the time. Now they're finally getting these cars off. So there's still tremendous demand for new cars. The car lots are getting more full. Prices are going up more slowly or coming down. Used car prices are falling. They're doing great. And new home construction, oddly enough, is doing well because there's no existing sales because everybody who has a house has a low mortgage. So no one wants to sell their house because they have to buy a new house. It's going to be more, the mortgage will go way up. So these sectors are oddly very strong. Weaker sectors in general is manufacturing. It's already in recession, with the exception of automobiles. Companies aren't buying things because they bought a lot during COVID, computers, laptops, and so on. Households bought a lot of stuff during COVID too. Pelotons, barbecues, pavers, pergola, whatever it is. So we don't need stuff, and if a recession's pending and rates are high and you have to finance the purchase, I can hold off. So weaker. Furniture stores, they're laying off workers.
You know, when you talk about the real estate aspect, we're certainly seeing that around here because many areas, this area is certainly an illustration with a shortage of homes. And while you would think in some ways that sales would slow down, they're certainly not doing that. In our area, prices are staying and in a lot of cases going back up.
Right. It's very odd. You'd think under normal conditions, historically, interest rates go from, you know, over double from 3, 3.25, 3.5 at the end of 21 to now almost 7. You'd think it would hammer the housing market, but it hasn't, because everybody like you and me bought a house either in 20 or 21 or refied into a new mortgage in 2021 and are now paying 3, 4, 5%, whatever it is, even 1.99 on a 15-year mortgage, and no one wants to sell their house. So yeah, rates are high and demand is down as a result. But so is supply. So you have reduced demand, reduced supply, and prices are staying pretty much where they are. If you look east of the Mississippi, prices are performing a little better right now than the west. If you look at the 30 markets that are falling the fastest, they're all west of the Mississippi River. But of course, in the during 20 and 21, it was the west that was doing much better than the east. So there's a little bit of payback, but prices are still way up compared to where they were before COVID.
What about the exit from places like California and to a lesser extent the city of Portland? How does that impact the prices in those areas?
Right on. I mean, California's prices have not done so well. They haven't done badly necessarily, but they haven't done well. It's really confined almost entirely to the San Francisco, San Jose market, so the Silicon Valley North. San Francisco, Silicon Valley South, San Jose, those price markets have seen 10, 12, 13% price declines. They're among the worst performers in the entire country. Portland also has not done well because they've actually lost population. They're an unusual story. It doesn't have to do so much with tech laying off workers and the tech bust and working from home. It's more the impression that Portland is no longer the cool, vibrant, edgy, dynamic city that it was, and there's less security and safety, shall we say. Hopefully this is a temporary thing, but as these people leave, they've got to go somewhere. Some of them are clearly going to stay in state and move south.
As people are aging and as more of the younger population look at buying, are there trends or things that are different about them? Are they more likely to get multifamily housing?
You know, economists have looked at this issue for decades, I mean, literally decades, since the 80s. And the expectation always is, oh, people are going to get older. They're going to sell their house. They're going to move to a smaller place. And it never happens. People get richer every generation. The current generations, the boomers, the oldest boomers are already retiring. And these people have more money. They have better health. They're not so eager to move to Florida or Arizona in your case, right? To Yuma or Tucson or whatever it is and play golf all day. No, they're active, they're vibrant, they're working longer. They may or may not want to move closer to their children or grandchildren, but they're not going to move to a retirement community en masse like they did. Some will, certainly, but less so than before. So they're going to be more like normal households for a longer period of time. Maybe at 75 or 76 or 77, they're going to have to make some choices and change their lifestyle, but they'll put it off for a while, and they have the money and health to do it.
What about the retail sector? During COVID, we saw a lot of people shift much more rapidly to online shopping for a lot of reasons. Coming out of a pandemic, where does the retail sector stand?
That's a great question. So, yes, you're absolutely right. COVID hits and the percentage of sales that were online sales skyrocketed. It went up, huge increase. And then as we return to some semblance of normalcy and now just about normal, the percentage declined, but it's back on its long-term trend growth. So if you ignore the boom during the lockdown, if you will, and the months after lockdown, and then see it come down, now it's going back on trend. And if you look at the long-term trend, it's as if COVID never happened. The huge increase and then decrease. So logistics, cold storage, all those sectors of the construction industry are strong because the demand for online stuff is very powerful. And it's still growing and it shows no sign of stopping. It just prematurely went up. because of the COVID lockdown for obvious reasons.
And one of the examples I heard recently tied into the Bed Bath and Beyond chain that, if I remember correctly, went under, was picked up by someone else, but now is going to be
Overstock.com.
Yeah, but now it's going to be totally online. So instead of hundreds of stores, it's a website.
Right. It's a popular name. We all know it well. We all were inundated with those coupons, those 10 off or 20 off coupons, whatever it was, for decades. So we all know what it is. So I think that there's some real intellectual property there. As a matter of fact, and we can argue whether the market's crazy here, when Overstock.com said they had purchased the intellectual property of Bed Bath & Beyond, the value of the stock of that company went up by $550 million. I mean, that seems a little bit much. But nonetheless, it's a good name. Another company that went up and under was the Christmas Tree Shops. They're headquartered in Massachusetts. And this is a sign of less demand overall for manufactured, for stuff. There's a little bit, there's a little weakness. So firms that don't have a good business model, it's been nice to know you. They're out.
Are there areas in retail, though, where maybe a certain sector of stores are going to stay strong, even though they would have an additional online presence?
So retail sales include restaurants, and restaurants continue to do pretty well. They really do. There's pent-up demand to go out, to see things, to go to a play, to go to a show, have dinner, whatever it is. So they're doing pretty well. Other sectors in retail that are doing well are among the very, very, very rich. If you want to buy, maybe you want to buy your wife a Birkin bag for a low price one, $30,000, $35,000. Those are selling like hotcakes right now. They really are. The really, really rich have done well. An area that's done poorly is the upper class, not the really rich, but the under 100, the 100 to 200, $250,000 a year jobs. A lot of those guys have lost their jobs because of the tech layoffs and so on. And they'll get other jobs, but they may not get them at such a high wage. So there's some suffering going on there. At the lower end, sales are stronger. They're strong because job growth remains good. The problem at the lower end is they're running out of excess COVID savings. They're running down their money, and by the end of this year, it'll probably be all gone for the bottom half of the population, income half of the population.
All right, more when we come back with Dr. Elliot Eisenberg. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show with the Commissioner of Dirt coming up this afternoon at 4 on Inside Douglas County tomorrow. Live from Washington, D.C., Congressman Cliff Bentz, representing the 2nd District, will be with us. Dr. Elliot Eisenberg, noted national economist, joining us from Denver today, talking about the U.S. economy. Elliot, are there areas of the economy that are not yet past the pandemic, or are most sectors really showing that they are past the pandemic?
We're really returning to an economy that's normal. Again, automobile sales are returning to what they should be. Employment levels in almost all sectors have recovered to where they should be. We're still a couple sectors that are still behind and so on, and tech hired too many, but then they fired and now they're back on trend again. So it's as if COVID is really going away. There's less and less. By, I would say, 6 months from now, it should almost be over. A year from now, all the effects of COVID will just about be gone from the economy. Evidence of its existence will have just about disappeared.
Now, you mentioned this a little bit before the break. Talk about travel. And with so many people traveling, the effect that has on different areas of the economy.
Oh, my gosh, tourism's really a mess, right? Hotels still haven't fully recovered. Leisure hospitality in general hasn't fully recovered. So restaurants and so on also. But our demand for travel is unbelievable. It's back to where it was in 2019, early 20 before COVID. But the problem is, we don't have the pilots because the pilots retired. quit, whatever it was. Some didn't come back, and they have to get certification. Or they said, or they were 63 at the time, and now they're 65, and they've aged out because you can't fly a plane after age 65. So we're short pilots. So there's a shortage of airplanes available because of that, and prices are higher, and the seats are full, and it's a really unpleasant experience to go to an airport or go on an airplane now. So they're still, we're recovering there. It's one of the sectors that are still trying to get themselves back to normal again. It may take another year or two in this case because you got to train new pilots. It's not a quick process.
Even though there are aspects of travel that are challenging right now, people certainly seem very willing to endure them.
No kidding. I mean, to travel to all over the country, and Americans traveling to Europe, it's gone crazy. There's so much that they have to control through at national parks around the world. People are upset there are so many tourists in Venice or in Dubrovnik, for example, in Croatia on the ocean there. It's overwhelming. The Europeans are desperate to travel, so are we, and so is everybody else. This is still pent-up demand. It will go away at some point. I mean, you can't have pent-up demand forever. But we're still in the pent-up demand phase, no question about it. And hotel prices are crazy. You go to hotels, you see prices of $7, $8, $9, $1,000 a hotel night. Airbnbs is $400 or $500. It's crazy.
And I was just thinking, and of course, we're right in the prime travel season of summer right now in July, but right. I personally know probably a half a dozen people that are in different parts of the world right now. They're all Roseburg residents. That's not something you always see, but travel is, boy, definitely really taking off this year, and it doesn't seem to show any signs of slowing down.
No, it does not. The TSA numbers are solidly back where they were in 2019. And it wouldn't surprise me if by the end of this year will turn out, or the last half of this year, last couple months, whatever, will turn out to have been better than 2019. The only limitation actually is like number of flights and seats available.
What about the U.S. budget deficit? Let's switch gears here. Should we be more concerned with it than both of the major parties seem to be?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, what's troubling right now in the immediacy is that the burden of interest costs are going way up. They've gone from $400 billion, they're now going to hit $700 or $800 billion. I mean, $400 billion is a lot of money. The federal budget's $6 trillion, so this is getting close to 10%, you know, from 3% or 4% to 8%. I mean, this matters. This is a big deal. So this is going to money that's going to come out of somewhere else or increase the deficit. That's problem number one. And the Fed says they're going to keep rates high for a while. That means these interest rate burdens aren't going to go away that quickly. As the economy weakens, if we end up in a recession, revenues will fall. So rates will go down, but revenues will fall. And the bigger problem is, what happens next time there's a recession? Every time there's a recession, was it 08, 09 or 2000, whatever it is, there's stimmy checks, unemployment insurance is enhanced, which makes sense, but the debt-to-GDP ratio keeps going up. So we have to get it down so that next time we can raid the cupboard, if you will, spend $1 trillion on stimulus without having it jack up the debt-to-GDP ratio, because the higher the debt-to-GDP ratio is, not the debt itself, who cares, the number's not relevant, the ratio. As it goes up, GDP growth slows a little bit. Think of it as a slow-moving cancer that never gets really bad, but it just keeps getting a little worse, a little worse, a little worse, a little worse.
What about employment? What areas, you know, for someone who's got a younger person in their life, what careers appear to be something to look forward to in the future?
Oh my gosh, there are a lot. So college is always a good choice. If you know what you want to study, it's a really good choice. If you don't, yeah, that's a little risky because it gets expensive. Even if you go to a good state school, like luckily you have two big good state schools nationally, you know, really big research level one institutions in Oregon State and so on. You have Portland and so on. There are more. But if you don't want to go to university, and a lot of people don't, great, get a trade. There's tremendous demand for plumbers, electricians, and on and on. Electricians especially are in huge demand because of the burgeoning electric vehicle industry and trying to shutter coal plants and shuttering natural gas plants in some places or new natural gas outlets and new houses and so on. Electrification is becoming much more popular. we're well short of them, and the pay is really terrific. So those are two great areas. Soldering, you know, people who need, you know, that kind of stuff for building bridges, for example, and welding, welders and so on. Tremendous demand for those skills, too. The people who do this are generally older, and they're retiring.
As you travel around the country, speaking to business and industry groups, what are you hearing about where the concerns are about the U.S. economy from regular folks and business leaders?
Business leaders are still nervous about, you know, is there going to be a recession? And that's the question on everybody's mind right now. Inflation's starting to go away. We've seen inflation pretty much everywhere peak out and come down. The question now is how fast and how much further will it fall? But no one's currently complaining, with a few exceptions, about the severity of inflation. It's more labor's still hard to get, getting easier, but still hard to get. And will there be a recession? That's on the mind of more and more businesses.
And what do you think on the recession question?
You know, the economists are split on this. There's no question. There's no group. There's no unified thinking. But I have to think we're going to get a recession. Interest rates rise this much from essentially zero a year and a half ago to now roughly five and eighth. And they're going to bump them up at least one more point to 5 3/8, maybe another quarter point to 5 5/8. And they're going to keep them there for a while. You do this, the chances of getting a recession are about 10 in 13, which is not great. That means you're likely to get one. And moreover, the yield curve is inverted, meaning short-term interest rates exceed long-term rates. When that happens, the last eight times since the mid-60s, every time a recession's ensued, leading economic indicators are terrible. So if you're going to claim we're not going to have a recession, you're going to have to argue that this time, because of COVID, there's been a fundamental change in the way consumers and businesses invest and spend and so on. And I think there has been. We have excess savings and pent-up demand and so on. The chips for the cars weren't available, and that's postponed things and so on. But I think at the end of the day, if you wait enough time, the recession comes. It won't be that bad, but it'll probably almost surely come.
And how can people get connected with your daily email?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I put out 70 words every day on economics. The easiest way to get it is to text the word bowtie, one word, to the five-digit number 66866. Bowtie to 66866 or go to econ70.com.
Dr. Elliot Eisenberg on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.